The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Emergency plans are understood to be in development by the government's new Energy Security Emergency Group, which is planning and forecasting for any potential oil or gas shortages this winter. The plans are said to be based on worst-case scenarios and would come into effect only in the event of severe oil supply disruption. Joining me now to talk about all of this is Kevin McPartland, who is CEO of Fuels for Ireland, who actually sits on the group representing liquid fuels interests. Kevin, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
How often do you guys meet?
It's at different times. It has been weekly. It's reduced now to fortnightly. And despite reports to the contrary, there isn't actually one today, which is why I'm free to be here. I should say, though, in your introduction, you said it's a new group. It's actually not new. I mean, the government has for many, many years planned for fuel emergencies, and we've always been part of that process.
OK, so you would have met regularly, but not weekly or monthly,
no,
even.
Not
just
quite
from
as regularly.
Time to time.
Precisely. There's a particular focus now because there's a particular type of threat that is current, and we have to be prudent and plan for that.
Now, what do you know before we get into liquid fuels about the other kinds of fuels? I mean, is there any constriction on coal? We know we get our gas through the UK, but we get it from basically a Norwegian field. We're not linked to the EU gas supply. So how are we fixed for those in the event of liquid fuels becoming problematic?
I probably don't know more any more than you do, Pat, as somebody who reads newspapers on it. What I can tell you is the government has its energy security group, which meets, which is looking at all of the different forms of energy, and then it has subgroups. So we're part of the oil subgroup. There is also a gas subgroup, and I presume there's a solid fuels one too. So that's how those groups are working. Now, there is a crossover, because when you think about gas in particular, and that's where the greatest threat is in Europe, most of the countries which are particularly under threat in terms of their gas supply use gas for electricity generation, as we do in this country. Now, the electricity generation plants can be used on oil. So if there is a situation where there is a severe restriction on gas in Europe or even in Ireland, then there is a risk from our perspective that some of the oil which is imported into Europe and into Ireland may be diverted for power generation.
Now, we know in Germany they're talking about coal-fired stations being resuscitated, or perhaps the ones that were to be phased out are not going to be phased out. The same with nuclear, and we, of course, still generate using coal here, and Moneypoint eventually will change into something else. I presume that there's a plentiful supply of coal globally.
Yeah, but I think it's actually the capacity to convert that into electricity would actually be the limiting factor, whereas the gas-fueled plants can, as I understand it, quite simply switch to being fueled by oil.
Yeah. Now, let's talk then about oil. How much storage do we have? I mean, I don't know how empty or full it is, but if we filled everything, how many days, weeks, months supply would we have as a reserve?
Yeah, so as in the early days of COVID, everybody became an expert in epidemiology. Everybody seemed to be an expert in oil supplies a couple of months ago when this was a very sharp issue. In commercial stocks, there's roughly, 2 to 3 weeks at the absolute maximum.
That's the max we can store.
Yeah. But then we also have the non-commercial stocks. So the government, the National Oil Reserve Agency, holds 85 days worth of stock, and that's to be released if the minister ever feels that there is a disruption, which is sufficient.
And has that been used at all?
There have been occasions over the history of that agency where short-term...
But we haven't touched it at the moment.
Well, we actually, as part of an international agreement, we put some onto the market. So there was 90 days. There's about 85 days now, but it wasn't released into our industry. That was released for to ease pressure on the global oil market at a particularly sharp pinch point early in the invasion of Ukraine.
Okay, so if there was no oil to be had in a period of 3 months, we'd have run out of fuel.
Well, the group that we've been talking about, this oil emergency group, is actually looking at how you would handle that. So if there were to be an absolute sudden abrupt stop to the supply of oil
and
into the country.
And we kept doing what we're doing,
yes,
3 months.
And that's the point. We wouldn't keep doing what we're doing. So the plan is how you prioritise, how you make sure that ambulances stay on the road, fire vehicles, guard vehicles, that food can get to supermarkets. So there are tiers, and this has been reported. I'm not betraying your confidence. This has been reported in the media. There are tiers of users, and dependent on the perceived threat to security of supply, the response would differ. So it could be that only those absolutely essential users can have access to fuel in a catastrophic situation.
So presumably there's a hierarchy then of need.
Yep.
So that's presumably what the group is working on with the government in terms of who gets what. Because you could imagine a lot of people would say, I'm special, I should have petrol in my car. So how do they work this out? Because there would be people who are in vital industries but who need to get to those industries.
Exactly. And to be fair to government, as I say, this is a plan which has been, you know, worked up over many, many years. It's been carefully reviewed in the last few months, and it's pretty sharp. I'm bound by a certain confidence as to how much I can say. But there is very clear understanding of what those really essential workers are, who those really essential workers are. And it isn't just the doctors and nurses, and it's not just official vehicles. It's about saying that if you are responsible for managing, for example, the electricity network, you need to be able to get to and from your place of work to get into the control room so that you can manage the grid. And there is well-made plans as to how those people are identified. There would be dedicated service stations exclusively for their use, and they would be verified by officers of the state to make sure that they're available. And then normal people, the likes of, well, perhaps you're not too normal, Pat, but
I noted that journalists were actually included in
appropriately
groups.
But if we were in a situation where there were heavy restrictions, normal motorists might be limited to 15 or 20 litres perhaps in their maximum.
So that might bring around about changes in behaviour. In other words, you say, I'm not going to walk down to the shops because I only need, you know, four or five items. I'm going to walk down instead of driving down.
Yep, I think if we were in that situation, those other measures would be in place. They wouldn't just be out restricting fuel. It may be that there is an order to work from home for those who can, for example. I'm not speaking for the group, I'm speculating. It may be that those sorts of measures are put in place, but it wouldn't just be as simple as restricting fuel. There would be measures put in place to make sure that we reduced our consumption.
Now, obviously, food production, so farmers would have to have access to their own, and they have special diesel anyway, as it is, as they would have to have access to diesel. But they produce the food. The food has to be harvested. It has to be delivered, if it's milk, for example, to the dairies, and that it has to be processed and then delivered. So the haulage industry would be high on the list of special cases.
Well, that's one of the interesting challenges because, yes, of course, you need to get the milk to the dairy and onto the supermarkets. But there are very few hauliers that exclusively deal in food products. So how do you manage to make sure that the essential products are always looked after and the non-essential that can wait are allowed to wait?
This is something I don't understand. Perhaps you do. Most of the government stock is held in Amsterdam. Why not use HVO? HVO fuel is available for delivery to any commercial site in Ireland.
Okay, well, first of all, it's not correct to say that most of the fuel is kept in Amsterdam. From memory, more than 80% is held on the island. And those few days that were released as part of the international solidarity were from the stock that was held outside of the island, so greater than 80% now. HVO is a great technology. It's something that we are looking
at.
What
is it?
So it's hydrotreated vegetable oil. So it's a zero or very close to zero carbon liquid fuel. It can be dropped into conventional diesel engines.
Yeah. How much of it, this hydrogenated vegetable oil, is actually being produced?
That's the point. Not sufficient quantities to pick up too much slack, and it's also terribly expensive at the moment. Now we're expecting that will come down the line. It may be something which influences how we use home heating oil in the future, so that those difficult to decarbonize homes that rely on oil for heating, it may be something that's factored into there. It will be used for sustainable aviation fuel. It will be used perhaps in diesel cars, but it's not something that's ready for market yet in those quantities.
But also the question has got to be the equation in terms of global food production. How much of the land of any country do you take out to make fuel rather than growing food?
And the perhaps the most interesting challenge for biofuels going forward is how you make sure that it isn't diverting land use away from fuel. And so, for example, right now we have 5% ethanol in our petrol. We're hoping there's going to be an order to make that 10% quite shortly. But all of that is a co-product, which is coming from grain processing. It used to be flared off. So now it's a product which was a waste product 10 or 15 years ago is now going into our fuel. Those are the sorts of things we need to be thinking about.
Yeah. Some people suggesting we need to build at least two LNG terminals here. Now, that's liquefied natural gas. I'm not sure if that's in your province, because it is a liquid that becomes a gas.
No, it's not a sector that we represent. They have their own representation. But I would say that they're not going to, you know, whether or not one agrees with that point of view, they're not going to be something which is going to be ready for this winter. And we really need to be aware of this winter heating for those homes that, right, you know, 60% of homes in rural Ireland still use oil for their heating. We need to be thinking about making sure that they have sufficient
already
fuel.
Some of the comments coming in about special cases, but perhaps not so special. Department of Transport need to ensure that bus and rail drivers can get fuel to travel to work so they can drive.
They're on the list.
Of course they would be. Yeah. The emergency team should already be constructing an advisory campaign on television and radio, which will advise people not to make unnecessary journeys in their vehicles. I presume that is all underway.
There's a communications group as part of that work. Yeah.
Someone else suggesting this is lockdown under another name. Well, if you can, a lot of people want to work from home. They want to work remotely and not be facing the commute. So it's not lockdown in the old sense where you couldn't meet anybody. It's just lockdown, stay at home and do your work from home.
And we have to say, Pat, it's still an unlikely scenario. What we're doing here is planning for the worst case scenario. I said to somebody earlier on today, I've been in hundreds of fire drills, but I've never been in a burning building. This is a fire drill. This work is to make sure that we know what to do if the worst ever were to happen. We don't expect it to.
Kevin, thank you very much for joining us. Kevin McPartland is CEO of Fuels for Ireland and who sits on that very special group, which is preparing for the worst case scenario, which hopefully will never arise. Kevin, thanks a million for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.